Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Patrick Finley, Assistant Director of the FBI's Facilities and Logistics Services Division. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Bathrop. Pat, given the push to modernize and green the federal supply chain by reducing waste and increasing efficiencies, would you tell us more about your efforts at FBI to adopt sustainable business practices?
I would be happy to. Actually, and that's also something that relates back to the field office program I was talking about a few minutes ago. We established at the start of that program, going back to 2004, that every building would be a LEED building, Leadership in Energy Environmental Design. And we've been very successful in that. Every building built on that program has either been a silver or gold building by the U.S. Green Buildings Council. And actually, the Chicago field office of the FBI was the first platinum existing LEED building, existing building category built in the world. It is a collaboration between the building owner operator and the FBI as the tenant to have very environmentally oriented business practices and how we manage the building. You don't want to drop a Coke can in the trash in that building. We have established recycling programs at FBI locations across the nation and to include, obviously, our headquarters, and both the recycling things that we would think about here in an office environment, but also recycling at ranges and how we get value for recycled products, including expended ammo and electronics. So a great initiative that we're really seeing some great results for. And then energy conservation, we use a lot of energy. The number of computers we have at our work locations really use energy. So we have energy conservation as a primary theme. In fact, just recently appointed a single Energy Czar, Energy Conservation Officer, for the FBI and for our Quantico complex. So we can really identify where we could, the things we should be doing to save energy. At the headquarters building, the Hoover Building, everything is very high efficiency, fluorescent lights, recently installed, high efficiency chiller units for all the cooling that we needed. So it's really made a huge cut in our costs.
I was wondering, with doing all these, and I didn't know about the platinum LEED building in Chicago, but there's got to be some challenges to doing this. Could you tell us a little bit more about those challenges that you're facing?
Sure. Several of the challenges are, again, we are operating in privately leased buildings, and so it has to be a good collaboration between us as the tenant and the building owner for those locations that I talked about, and Chicago was a great example of that. We also, of course, follow the federal acquisition regulations. And so when we are recycling something that has value, we have to make sure that we are following regulations closely and also meeting the requirements of federal appropriations law as far as how we receive those recycling proceeds back. There are challenges. I'm really pleased that we've been able to overcome so many of them with really the great folks we have that are involved with these initiatives.
Well, Pat, you part of your mission is to procure services as well as real estate, land, buildings, what have you. And you mentioned the FAR. You mentioned the federal acquisition requirements. I'd be interested, how do you, in your role, ensure the fiduciary responsibility that's associated with procuring these services and materials?
Well, I would say first, daily, with an excellent collaboration really between our chief financial officer, our office of counsel, and our training division. We've got really great training on procurement integrity, and every FBI executive and everyone that's involved in any aspect of acquisition has training and has refresher training. And we have in our office of counsel, and I call them often. I call them before this meeting to refresh ourselves on what aspects of what we might be discussing have some procurement integrity, to make sure we're avoiding those. And then when we are engaged in an acquisition, we are very careful in reminding people of that, actually having a signed non-disclosure form for every person that's engaged in this, so that he or she is confronted with that very upfront and is absolutely clear that what we are have this information we have access to has sensitivity and cannot be discussed with anyone else.
Pat, we've seen federal agency managers demonstrate measurable improvements in programs by integrating data analytics into decision making. Can you talk about how you are using analytics to improve services and quality, and perhaps to identify new solutions and services?
Yes, particularly in the facilities area, but I'll go into the vehicles in maybe a moment, is that we have a analytics of own facilities of our service orders, service ticket, preventive maintenance, that we're doing those, the cost of accomplishing those, the frequency. It's really precisely what's needed to keep up on some very complex facilities and in some cases some aging facilities. So we use that heavily and continually. With our nationwide footprint, especially in lease facilities, we do real estate financial modeling of every single transaction. So we're looking at the acquisition costs, the range of costs, the real estate market, the annual costs over the term of the lease, the amortization of any improvements, and really trying to make best decisions for the taxpayer by this attention to our analytics. And in such areas as vehicle and fleet warehousing, we are using or starting to use analytics to measure what we're doing and in turn base them on cost metrics, and oftentimes taken directly from the industry, as we talked about earlier.
Given your critical mission, your office requires staff with technical skills and expertise. What are you doing to ensure you have a well-trained and technical workforce able to meet today's challenges?
First of all, having the vision of where are we going to be in 5 and 10 years is critical, so that we plan for and develop people for the right skills. Every single person has a training and development program. We actually, in several critical areas, we have on-duty training sessions on a recurring basis with instructors within the organization or brought in to teach a particularly technical skill. The Bureau has a great university education program where people apply for that, very high potential and related to the FBI's mission, and they go to school on their own time to seek out a degree that will advance the Bureau's knowledge of that. So we have multiple people seeking right now real estate, financial management, construction management degrees. Obviously, recruiting for the right skill sets and ensuring we're getting those through the recruitment process is important. And the last program I would like to mention is that the Bureau in 2005 started a special advisor program where we go out to some of the top business schools in the country, really seeking soon-to-be graduates who have worked in the private sector or in industry prior to that. So they have some experience. Then they become graduates of with an MBA from one of these programs and then come in and develop them within the organization. It's been a fantastic program for the FBI, and we've gained great benefit from that.
So, Pat, we talked about the era of fiscal constraint, and agency leaders need to act with some strategic intent to make sure that their employees are focused on the prize, so to speak. I'd be interested to understand what you're doing to make folks motivated and focused on the mission of your division.
By the way, that is the perfect question for the time that we are entering. I try to communicate a lot, and subordinate managers communicate with employees so that people are aware of what the country, what the FBI, and what our division is facing, and there's good communication on that. Send out a monthly email, and then I go around, and as do the all my supervisors, but I specifically like to meet with each in this kind of group in a kind of a small group basis about once a quarter and kind of talk about where we're headed, where we've been, what are some of the challenges that we are facing, and really encourage, and we got great employees, encourage the employees to their ideas that we can use and then become the basis for some of the improvements that we need to make and enabling us to move forward. We are in a period of change. Actually, probably my two favorite management books are Leading Change by John Kotter and Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I think the commonality of those is that have a vision, be proactive, and then move towards achieving that vision through collaboration and a coalition.
So what are you doing to enhance the management of some of the programs in your portfolio, let's say the automotive fleet, construction management, or facilities and operations management?
Already discussed a little bit on the data systems that we are employing. In each area, the commonality is what is the best value for the taxpayer and the lowest cost, and what are the things that influence those costs. And so we address that very carefully. A specific example is how we utilize space. What are our assumptions as far as what we need for space? Are those valid? Can we do that better? And we're coming up with a much more collaborative environment where the three of us are facing each other and able to collaborate very easily than maybe the high-walled Dilbert cubes more of the 1990s. They use less space, better collaboration, lower cost. So really is every decision we make is based upon the best management of that resource and for the greatest value for the taxpayer.
So with the automotive fleet, are you guys doing more with hybrids or anything like that? Or
yeah, we are looking at hybrids. We have some we have a couple of tests going on right now. We have some very good gas mileage vehicles. What we bounce up against in that is that we're also a law enforcement agency. And so we have to balance the needs of being a law enforcement agency's agents that are part of SWAT teams with the best mileage and then the best utilization of the vehicle.
That's really an important point, that with every decision you make, the unique mission or multiple missions of the FBI have to be taken in consideration.
Yeah, we really have to carefully weigh that. And what we do in that case, by the way, is that we have a certain number of vehicles that are allocated to a field division that are purposely for a SWAT. And so those people, while they're on a SWAT team, had that type of vehicle, but then it's also an assignment process so that as they move on to something else, then maybe they get a better gas mileage vehicle.
What does the future hold for the FBI's Facilities and Logistics Services Division? We will ask Patrick Finley, Assistant Director of the FBI's Facilities and Logistics Services Division, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.